Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Challenge Invasion wrap-up for the premiere. I am Brian Cohn, and if you haven't noticed, this is the first time I've done this in a while, so I stumbled over the intro. Here is my co-host, Allie Lesher. Allie, how are you?
Brian, you could open up the show in like complete gibberish, and you'd be better than the shit I'm pulling over at the Ari the One podcast.
Nah, you've been good. I've caught up with those. You've actually been pretty good. You gotta
get a
little
intro.
It's a
lot to catch up with two shows.
Well, you're really back.
You're really backlogged there. No, you've been underappreciated. This is a thankless job to open up these podcasts. It's really terrible. Much easier to be like the loudmouth sidekick than the host of the show.
Yeah, it's fun just thinking of the witty response to the how are you rather than the choreographed opening line.
I went off script here. I didn't expect you to, you know, F it up as badly as you did.
Yeah, well, it's been like 6 months because we were just talking about this before we went live, and I'm looking at the last recording date. It was August 9th. That's so long ago.
Wow. My whole life has changed.
Oh, my God.
you
have been going through a lot.
How are you? This has been 6 months, and people like think we're like BFFs or something behind the scenes. I really haven't talked to you at all in 6 months.
No, last time we spoke, you weren't even in law school, and now you're like almost done with it, right? You're almost done?
I'm almost done with the important part, so that is true. I have been keeping my podcast muscles flexed and limber over on some other shows, but it's been a while since we talked about the challenge. I actually have a funny story that I was trying to remember if I told you or not, but given that it was before I even came to law school, it would be impossible for me to have said this. And I was actually just with my friend Will over in the reading room getting some reading on. I know how everyone cares about that. Anyway, I met him at like a football tailgate, whatever, Go Blue, yeah, Michigan. And he stops me and is like, "Do you have a podcast?" And I was like, "Hello, stranger. How are you? What's your name?" And it turns out his like best friend, Rochelle, is like an avid listener of the podcast and told him to look out for me. And it led to like a bunch of people in class being like, "Are you the one with the podcast?" And I was like, "Please look away.
We have a superstar amongst us.
Avert your eyes." So that was like pretty almost cool. So at least one person listens to the podcast. So that was nice.
That's good. I haven't had that situation happen at all in any of my life where a random person would be like, "Are you from this podcast?" I haven't had that yet. So I'm still waiting for it.
Because no one knows where to find you. Like before, we were just like in this nebulous world of New York. And now like I'm in a very small community here. So people know, like if you know somebody who goes to Michigan Law, it comes up. Whereas like it's like, "Oh, you're from New York. Have you ever run into someone, one of the thousands of people named Brian Cohn?"
That's very true. Cohn is not exactly a rare name in these parts.
Speaking of names, how you like that segue? I'm sharp. Speaking of names, can we just criticize how terrible the name of the challenge is? I thought it was the Challenge Invasion, and I was like, "Wow, great name." But it's Challenge Invasion of the Champions.
Oh, why I thought it was just Invasion.
Look at the logo, buddy. It's horrible. It's horrible.
Oh, well, I'm just going to call it Challenge Invasion.
Yeah, because we're normal people.
Yeah.
I mean, it's terrible. They had such a good opportunity, and they blew it.
They love having an extremely long hashtag for people to tweet. I'm convinced they try to like limit what you can actually say in the tweet just because the hashtag takes up like half of it.
That's actually not bad. We should do that. If anyone wants to tweet us negativity, use the hashtag "I'm saying something negative about the reality TV wrap-ups of the Challenge Invasion of the Champions." And
then
you only have like three words. "I hate you." That's it.
You can still spill the hate.
Speaking of hate, and it's my New Year's resolution to be more joyful on the podcast, so I'm already out of 3 minutes, I've already been negative.
I've missed the hate in my life. It's been too nice. I need hate.
Oh, right, because you're just like a wall of joy just bounding around in your normal life.
Bouncing around with sunshines and rainbows. I need my dark cloud.
To bitch again about this, before I get into an episode I really enjoyed in a season I think I'm really going to enjoy, my DVR, don't let your DVRs F you up, people, because this is one of those, like, it won't just record if you have the challenge set to record because they changed the name in the interwebs. So, like, this actually didn't record last night at 11 o'clock when I went to look at it. And so, thank God for MTV.com, I got to watch it, you know, living in a millennial world. But don't let that happen to you. If you think you're just relying on your setting from last season, it will not work. Or at least it didn't for me because the world hates me.
Well, there you go. If you're hearing it first, make sure DVRs are set correctly.
Or just like check it in advance and don't be an asshole and wait for it like I was. But
or watch it live like a loser like I am and watch commercials.
It would be my greatest joy to be able to watch this live at this point. Like my one joy in life would be this. Unfortunately, it's denied to me.
It really is so painful watching it live for 2 hours. Like 1 hour is like doable, but when you're like the 2 hour mark and you're like, oh my God, I've seen this commercial like four times. Like, please, please just take me out of my misery.
Don't you watch The Bachelor live? Do you not?
I do. And it's more it's very worse. Painful. But at least that time, that's more casual. Here, I have to like actually pay attention because knowing I have to like talk about it. The Bachelor, I could just like, I missed something. Who cares?
That's very fair. I feel like I watch maybe 6 actual minutes of The Bachelor with any focus. And otherwise, I'm just chatting in the room or tweeting.
Right. But then, I mean, you get the gist of everything that happens. Nick cries and there's 2 people who matter. So you're good.
Also, you went through a really big change, a transition of sorts. Are you even aware of it? Yeah, because I got some people tweeting at Bus Driver's Route and they didn't realize
I
wasn't
linking
anything.
Yeah, so it changed my Twitter.
Let people know that. Bold move. Brand change. Bold move.
Well, I figured it's like I'm not I did that Twitter because that was the name of my blog. So I joined Twitter like what is really old school. I think I joined in 2008 and I don't think anyone was even on it. So I'm like, I don't know. I don't want to use my name. That's weird. So I just did my blog and I just never changed it from there. And I just am done with the blog. So like, you know what? I'm going to start branding myself as my name. And of course, Brian Cohen, the most generic name of all time. Like every form of Brian Cohen was taken.
So now it's, let the people know what you are.
Yeah. Cohen Brian _.
Yo, you know who's gonna hate that?
Who?
Your buddy Rob Cesternino. He rips on Haley
why?
All the time. He just thinks like Haley's Twitter handle ending with an underscore is like the most ludicrous thing. So I look forward to future ribbage.
I can't wait.
All right. So should we talk about this? I mean, I could do like 40 more minutes on just like general bullshit. I'm enjoying this.
General bullshit? I saluted.
Great.
We can jump in. We can keep with the bullshit throughout the discussion of these sickos that are back in our lives.
Well, that's guaranteed, but at least like let's put some blinders on. Get me on track here.
All right, so we start with a full introduction. We get each of the people get like a little 5-10 second intro of who they are.
We didn't have a preview podcast, so like what's your anyone who's not watching the show and just along for the bullshit, like what's your general feeling of A, the format, and B, how they set the format up on the episode.
I love the way they're doing this. I think it kind of is a good balance between everyone that wants all these old people gone and like a new threshold in and people who like are afraid to actually give the reins over to these new people. Because now it's like, all right, we get a little like test drive. Like the little 16-year-old kid is taking over the wheel for a little bit. But then like we know the adults are going to take over when it really matters. So I think it's like a good balance to see how these first couple of weeks are going to go. And then we get like, you know, CT and Bananas and Laurel and all these people who are the stalwarts of the show back in it.
Well, I'm just picturing like Tony as a baby on Bananas' lap trying to drive the car. No, that's a great analogy. What I wanted from a 2-hour episode here was either more action or more explanation. I have no problem that they don't know what's going to happen. I wish we were more clear on what was going to happen down the road. Is it when 8 people get to the Oasis, we're done, and 8 challengers come in, and it just, or the 8 champs come in, and that's it? It's a regular show. Are they just going to come in one at a time to F shit up? Like, I don't think it's going to be one at a time. We know that. But
right.
what's going to happen here? I am very excited for the same reason as you, that we get to see these people, like, off Bananas' leash for a little bit. I think that yielded even some interesting stuff this episode already. Do we need the shelter and the Oasis? What's happening there? Do we need them to be living in squalor?
Yeah, that seems a little forced. I don't know really what the point of it is. They could just be in the house normally and just be like, but I guess they need like a reason that other people aren't there. I don't know why they're doing it this way, but they don't really need this whole setup. It just adds an interesting dynamic to it, but I don't think a good dynamic, because I'd rather them just be hydrated and drunk doing this rather than being all dirty.
Right. It definitely limits the hijinks in terms of like they all have these cots with mosquito nets, but I also wonder if they just needed like halfway through the season the people who haven't quote punched their ticket to the Oasis, as DJ is probably gonna say 500 times an episode. Are they just going to be dropped in like a 50% cut? Like people are going to get eliminated week to week, but is the significance of getting your ticket punched? Like are all the people remaining going to have punched tickets, or is it going to be like 8 people have punched tickets. There are 5 people left. You're all going home. Sorry.
So I think it actually works out pretty well math wise. I was thinking about it. I think this is going to last 3 weeks, and that because each week 4 people are going to get their ticket punched and 2 people go home. So that's 6 people, and there's 18 of them total. So this should last 3 weeks.
So we're going to have 16 right? people total 4 weeks.
So we're going to have 12 people from here moving on to the Oasis, and then the 8 people, 8 challenge, 8 champs will join them.
Okay. Gotcha.
So I think, the math, like, it works out like scheduling week to week. This will be a 3 week thing.
And then the people who have punched tickets, are they immune then from the eliminations next week? Like, are Nicole and Dario not up for elimination?
I would think so, because I would say that they don't even compete, like Nicole and Dario and Tony, like they don't compete in the challenge either. I think it'll just be whoever's left is competing in the challenge, and then whoever loses then, and whoever's left is eligible to be nominated.
So I they're just think. Kind of
but
chilling.
They're just there. I don't know if they even vote. I would be curious to see if they vote next week too. I don't know that either.
I would say they have to vote. I was thinking they'd compete in the challenge, but you're right. That would make no sense if they win or lose. So that's the only right. reason you would need, if the math works out perfectly, the only reason you would need to quote unquote punch a ticket would be that it would function as an immunity moving forward. Because otherwise you would just be fighting for the amount of available spots, right? If they're not saying, okay, the top right. 8 and the rest go. It is, I thought this immediately, I don't know if you thought about this, it is what you've been proposing for Are You the One for seasons now, which is like the people who go, instead of going to the honeymoon suite, you just hang around.
Right. Yeah. A lot of the things we've been like proposing for both shows are kind of like taking effect this season with like, we're giving, like I always wanted them to have like a training camp, like off season show. And this is kind of it. They're just airing it. And then just like whoever the best of the best is, move on. And we've kind of wanted to see what it would be like without all the veterans, see like who would be the type A personalities that would take over. And we're kind of seeing that here. So I'm really into like this quirky little 3 week experiment that they're doing.
I like it too. I think it's just a little bit more confusing than it needs to be, but you know, you don't have to be a genius to follow along. So I'll just go with the confusion for a little bit.
That's right.
The other thing I want to know from you is there are some big casting bombs here, a bomb in a good way. And maybe some bomb in a bad way. And I was on with Rob to like try to convince people against their will to watch Are You the One. We talked about the challenge for a bit. And I did then eat crow. And for a larger audience, I will eat crow now, as I've been telling people to like give up. The old people are done. Pack your bags are done. Get used to the new crew. And in a way, this is get used to the new crew. It's a new class. You know, Tony made a speech I'm sure you loved, out with the old and with the new, whatever. But now we're also getting shades of the past in Darrell and Shane. I mean, you could argue that CT is a part of that, but really Darrell and Shane, who have been gone for a long time, who are now back. Yeah. So are you happy to see them, or wish we just stuck with the new class?
I'm okay seeing Shane and Darrell back. I was never really pushing for them. I wasn't that strong on like needing them to come back and all. Like I'm okay with it. Like it doesn't move the needle for me either way. Like cool, Darrell's back. That'll be fun just to see what he's like. But that's not swaying me either way of like, oh, this is great or this is stupid. So that's a boring answer, but I'm like more on it.
I'm not judging you. Fair. I agree, kind of. Like I think I'm more excited to see Darrell than I expected to be. Like I was like, okay, cool guys, you got what you wanted. Darrell's on. I think Darrell is, I mean, somebody texted me personally. Someone tweeted at us or me, whatever. Like, if you're questioning if Darrell still got it, it's like a picture of his like greased up abs. And it's like, no one's questioning whether or not Darrell like still has a good body. He's a trainer. He's a professional fitness person, whatever. At a certain point, like your age is your age in terms of willing to be in these hijinks on the challenge. It's not only that he's older, it's that he's married. He's got 2 kids, or he has a fiance. Like, he's not going to be interested in partying like to the level we want to see. But in this is almost the perfect spot for him, depending on how we see the invasion work out, where we're getting the hijinks from the new class. And then he's there basically to just be a beast, which he still is. So I'm happier to see him in this spot than I would be on a traditional season.
Yeah, I'm with you. It's for him. It's got to be like, you know, he's like a 30-year-old going to like a freshman orientation. Like he's got to just be like the weirdest sense of like around him. Like, where the hell am I right now?
And for anyone who has no idea who Shane and Darrell are, they were on the same season of Road Rules, like Campus Crawl. Does that sound right?
That sounds right.
And then Shane, they say in his bio, I pulled this, Road Rules castmate has remained winless across 5 challenges.
Ouch.
Although many of the champions have remained winless across more than 5 seasons.
That's very true. Very true. But speaking of the bios, because this was interesting when they started to do the kind of the introduction of everyone. I'm going to butcher this guy, and I'm going to be saying the names this week, so I apologize to everyone in advance when I butcher everyone's name. But William Vezina said, how did you feel about the name card showing only the age and hometown? Do you think it'll allow the unconverted viewers to give the Are You the One kids a chance rather than showing that they were from Are You the One?
That's a really interesting point. I was going to write that down as another point of frustration, but again, my New Year's resolution to not bitch about every piece of minutia here. I didn't, mm-hmm. So I'm really glad he brought that up. I was like pissed because I was like, I want to see what season these people are from, especially from our perspective as podcasters, to not have to look it up if you can't remember. A lot of the Are You the One seasons bleed in for me. Didn't think of it like that. I remember just thinking, like, why do I care that they're from like Howell, New Jersey or wherever? Like, I don't care about that. But that is a good point. Although at this point, it's like stupid, I think, to be hiding that they're from Are You the One rather than embracing it. But interesting point.
Yeah, I think it could help a little bit. I mean, usually it only lasts like the 1 week, because then once you're in it, you're kind of like in the challenge world, at least for people that should be their mindset. But I think it's a good like opening, like, all right, we don't need to know that Hunter was, you know, Are You the One? He could have just been Real World San Francisco also or whatever.
Speaking of Hunter, he was visually unrecognizable for me.
I had no idea who he was. I did a double take. I'm like, who is this person? I thought I usually am very good. Like, oh, now this is exactly. I had no idea who Hunter was at the time.
I knew he was supposed to be on the show, so when he came up, I like vaguely knew it was him. But what occurred in the time? Like, we've been gone for 6 months. I hope you still look reasonably the same. Like, what occurred in the time since he was on Are You the One?
I think what it is he just wore a hat every single moment during Are You the One, and then when he took it off, he had longer hair. I think it's his hair.
That's much more generous than what I was going to say. I mean, he looks different in size. He looks different in face, and definitely the hair and the hat thing. That's a good point. But all right, so we'll go with the hat in quotes. Mm-hmm. I'm putting firm air quotes around that hat thing.
So the two people from the past Real World that are on this season, Anika and Theo, what do you think of those choices?
Did you watch the Real World this season?
I did.
Okay. That wasn't meant with any judgment. It's just like, did you watch this season? You don't have to. That's the joy. We don't have to watch.
I'm all up to my required watchings.
That is not required. That is extra credit. I like binged it over a break, like winter break. I watched like 6 of the episodes.
That's the smart way to do it.
I think here's a hot take. The most interesting thing Anika will do this season is fall out of the boat.
That's not a hot take. I was stunned that she was on this season. I don't think she had a storyline during Real World.
I mean, beyond the fact that her ex who came back, for anyone who didn't watch The Real World, they had like an entire cast of their exes join them for the entire season. Or not exes, sorry. Just like people with bad blood. It was Real World bad blood. People like
synonyms for skeletons.
Right. And exes. It was just like a smash up of the two of them. Yeah. Smash up. Okay. That's not what people call it. Anyway, Anika's main storyline was that her ex-boyfriend who came to the house, like, was friends with her after they broke up and then got another girl pregnant. And that was their bad blood.
Yeah.
That's all she really did.
But I thought there were like a good crop of women to choose from the Spanish Real World. I was stunned that either the sisters weren't on it. I thought they would have been good. I can't believe they chose Anika. Because, I mean, Theo was like the obvious choice.
Even Jordan.
Yeah, she would have been good too.
I think would have been a better choice. I'm confused why Anika is there. I feel like she has a great personality, but the stuff that would get you cast on The Real World to me is like, okay, everyone has that on a baseline. So you need something else to get you to the challenge. And she doesn't have that extra. I mean, I felt this way about Ash. Not that I didn't think Ashley had that. I wasn't excited to see Ashley on when they moved her to the challenge. And now I'm so stoked. So hopefully Ashley, the challenger version, not the champ. So hopefully she'll surprise us. Theo, it's funny. The episode that Theo got sent home from the Real World early for fighting with his cousin, who he does talk about a little bit again. That storyline is so tired. I want him to just kind of get over it. But basically, he blames his cousin for having weed in the room and getting him to lose his scholarship and his chance at the NFL, et cetera, et cetera.
Right.
I didn't see the episode where that's the one episode I didn't see, because for some reason it was like a paid for episode on demand.
Not paying for a real world.
It was pay-per-view action. And I was like, nah, I'm going to catch up from the previously on and next up on, next week on the real world.
That'll do it.
So I don't know if there's anything more that I missed. Like, how aggressive was that fight? Do you think he should have gotten sent home?
No, it was, he like shoved them to the ground. It was very weak. It was very weak. I don't know why. They just, they were very flimsy with the kicking people out this season.
Wow. That's like really upsetting.
Yeah, I'm sorry. There was no punch. I don't think there was a punch thrown at all. He just like shoved them to the ground and then they were just like fake, like brotherly wrestling. And then they just like broke them apart.
Maybe it'll be like the Skeletons cast where there are people from Bad Blood that we'll be waiting to see for a little while and then they will come through. The four Skeletons, I'm curious to know how we feel. We've both been waiting for Nicole year after year, it feels like. I've been aging a thousand years waiting for Nicole, and here she is. I don't think she disappointed. What about you?
No, she was born to be on the show. She is like the athleticism. I mean, the voice is going to get very tired. Just like she's like a walking, she's a walking subtitle sometimes, but I mean, she's gonna be hooking up with like anyone and everyone. She's like beast competitor, and she's willing to call people out on their bullshit, and she's gonna be here for many, many years.
What's incredible is like Bruno gets, and I assume we're just kind of doing like a free for all conversation here on these people.
Yeah,
Bruno.
I mean, that's basically what the first hour was anyway.
Exactly, Bruno. You know, quote unquote, quits the challenge. We'll get to that, and Nicole's not only willing to like go ham on the people that betray her, but she goes ham on like her tightest friend in the house for just giving up. She is just emotional and passionate. It's going to come through in the challenge. I mean, she wins for the girls, and it's going to come through on pretty much everyone, the people she has good relationships with and bad. I'm so excited to see her on. And also her body is like actually insane. I think it's improved since she was on Skeletons. Like, I just don't understand how she like functions every day.
I mean, she had one of the meanest insults I've heard in the show in a while to Sylvia when she said, "I hope you cry every day of your life." I mean, that's so mean.
That's like a good day for me that I've only cried once. That didn't hit me as hard.
Okay, well, it hit me. They're really going deep.
That got very personal very fast and was upsetting.
That's like when you're like friends with someone for a long time and you have so many things built up and then you just let it all out, and they were throwing haymakers at each other.
The other person from Skeletons, I'm not that interested in Sylvia. I wasn't that interested in her on Skeletons. No. I'm not that interested in her now.
I wish the other one who was there, the one Violetta, who got super drunk. Yeah, her. She was great.
But Bruno, in this episode, is just reminding me exactly why I couldn't stand Bruno on The Real World. For anyone who didn't watch Skeletons, like, this is Bruno, like, moody and absurdly irrationally like angry. I mean, he didn't get fired up as much as he did on The Real World, but just like the fact that he's just totally blameless when he quits the challenge, and even when he goes home, it's like the odds were against him. Like, I'm so sick of attending like Bruno's pity party when I didn't RSVP.
Bruno's the perfect person that always makes me question when they always say like they like background check and mentally health check people before they let them on the show. Like, how does he be like, he legitimately has mental problems. Like, I'm not even afraid to say that. He needs help. And the fact that he's allowed on the show is like scary. I'm thank God he's actually gone after week one. Otherwise, he probably would have done something really bad.
I have nothing to add to that. We also got an emotional story from Shane. I didn't know. I didn't kept up with Shane. I definitely recognized Shane. I remembered Shane. Mm-hmm. No problem there. Didn't realize he was one of the first to be married to another man in South Carolina, I think it was.
Yeah.
And so sad that after 11 years of marriage, his husband just up and left without him expecting it. I mean, that was like, I'm actually more excited for Shane to get a rebirth here just based on his. Tony doesn't have any of my sympathies of his life story, and he kept trying to get them. Shane is actually the one with the sympathetic life story.
Right. We actually had a question about that, because I agree. That was actually like a genuinely like, oh, this, I really actually feel bad for him. I can't find it. But someone asked, like, which sob story actually like made you feel bad? Theo, like, oh, here it is. As well, Simon said, which was the worst attempt at a sob story? Theo having student debt, Hunter quitting baseball, or Anthony being insecure about not being in a relationship? And then, obviously, Shane's the biggest one.
Okay, break those down again.
Theo having student debt / I guess the bigger thing is getting kicked out of school and getting arrested and not going to the NFL.
I'm curious to know where you stand on that, because I was really, I mean, I felt bad for him, but I'm actually really sick of it by now. And I also am completely, like, I don't completely buy the story that it was just his cousin.
I've been very torn on that one because I do, like, I always felt of all, like, the backstories, Bad Bloods, I thought him and his cousin were, like, the only one that was, like, kind of really genuine. Like, they actually had serious stuff to work out. And I wasn't really sure on whose side I was ever fully on. I always wavered between Theo and his cousin. I just really didn't like the cousin, which always kind of made me side toward Theo. But I didn't like how he didn't really ever take any responsibility for it.
That's fair. Theo is the much better person. Like, in terms of somebody I want to see again on my television, I loved Theo.
Yeah.
But just to me, like, I don't think either of their stories are 100% true. Like, something doesn't add up. Like, your cousin had weed in the room. I wasn't clear if they were roommates. It kind of seemed like he was squatting. Like, you're just, like, letting him have weed in the room when you know your whole life is in jeopardy. I don't know. It just seemed like a lot of blamelessness.
Oh, there's definitely a middle ground where the truth actually lies.
I digress. What was the other options?
Hunter quitting baseball to start a family and Anthony being insecure because he's not in a relationship.
Well, the second shock of the night with Hunter, besides his completely changed appearance, is that he... Did we hear the story on his season of Are You the One?
No, no idea. Apparently he has a kid.
No, I didn't even think that meant he had a kid.
Well, didn't he say that he quit baseball to, like, start a family?
And that didn't work out.
Right, but...
I wasn't
that
sure.
That has to imply a kid. I don't think you just quit baseball like because you're in a relationship.
I don't know. You don't think Are You the One is, like, pumping the fact that he's a single father, the first one on Are You the One?
That's a good... I don't know. What, how long ago was his Are You the One? Is it possible that this happened in between Are You the One and The Challenge?
I mean, by the looks of him, he's aged 50 years since he was last... Like, 50 years have passed. So, I'm not sure. I'm going to be looking now... While we talk about the rest of it on his media.
Because that's a great point. If he had a kid, that would have had to have come up on his season.
Like, I have never
seen...
But then
who just quits base school just because you have a girlfriend?
False alarm, I got excited. He tweeted a picture of a small child on his lap. It's his sister. We keep moving.
Wait, he has a child with his sister?
No,
what?
No. I'm sorry. Like, he posted a picture of a child, but it was his sister. The child is his sister.
Oh, okay. Okay. Ooh, that would have been a big twist.
I interpreted that story to mean, like, I quit baseball to pursue... You're right. There could have been a miscarriage. There could have been a lot of things that are sensitive that we're not, allowing for right now. I will look into this. This is something I will accept as worthwhile of my time to keep investigating. But, yeah, that was... I can't believe... You might be right. He was on Kiki season, which was...
That was last season, right?
I thought it was last season. I did this on the Are You the One podcast, too.
They all blend together. Everything's
incredible. Wrong. I will, like, be convinced that two people were on a season together. Like, I saw a scene with them and not even close.
Because this is... No, he was definitely season three. Actually, I can't say definitely. I'm not 100%.
Okay, well, I know he was on Kiki season and that was season three. And that was in 2015. And
so it's possible he quit school in between.
He was 22.
Probably would have been out of school by then.
Anyway... We need more information on this, Hunter, if you're listening. We'd like to hear more of your story. And if anyone knows anything about it, Hunter, if his child is listening, please let us know.
I always love how we give the most attention to the people who get the least attention on the show. Like, I think we've talked about Hunter more than he was actually on.
That was
hours.
A huge story. For anyone who watched Are You the One, I know it's like maybe 1/8 of the people who watch a challenge, but that was like an incredible storyline that we just like didn't get on his last show. You don't normally have that. And then what am I supposed to feel bad for Anthony about? Like, again, looking kind of different than he did on the show?
It's just being an asshole, I think. I don't know.
Oh, is that what the question said?
It was basically like not being secure enough to be being insecure because he's not in a relationship.
He assured us there's nothing more you could do to demonstrate security than assure someone that you're not insecure.
I can't wait for the Anthony Marie marriage because that is, you know. Relationships are totally built on 2 days in a deserted island on The Challenge.
He did a big Liam Neeson, like, whatever happens, Marie, I will find you.
I will always find you.
But I mean, kind of dead for me on Anthony, like, kind of giving shit to Kayla. I could see that materializing into a fight, but...
Yeah, I think he has the potential to be good on this season. More so than Hunter.
In terms of... I'm trying to think of who from his season... I'm upset that we're seeing... Anthony here without Ellie.
Oh, yeah. I miss Ellie. Although she's kind of a lunatic now, so I don't know.
I've beat off all of her on Twitter, so that's
it. I stopped following a little while ago because she's a bit of a lunatic. But anything else before the challenge? Anyone else we should check in on?
The other thing I want to say is that LaToya, I think, had the subtle line of the night with talking about how her weave is environmentally friendly. Because what it sounded like to me was that when somebody says something's environmentally friendly, it usually means good for the environment. What she meant was, like, it goes with the environment, like your hair would be humid and would curl up. Like, what a use of environmentally friendly.
I thought you were going with when she got up after sitting on Tony's lap because she was afraid he was just going to get her pregnant.
Yes, then it was like, it was line after line. I think she should be the head of the soon-to-be defunct EPA with her definition of environmentally friendly. But yes, she also identifies that Tony has strong sperm, which is like, the mention of it leads to like 15,000 mentions of like, am I supposed to feel bad? Or like, is Sylvia not supposed to vote for Tony because he's got a baby girl and one on the way, as though like he's not completely responsible for his actions?
No, you can't. I love Tony. I think he's hysterical. You can't be bringing "I have kids because I'm a crazy drunk" into this world, so you have to feel pity for me and not vote me in. Of all the things they throw in Sylvia's face, you don't throw in that.
That was like pretty ridiculous. And then I mean we get a little bit from Jenna is kind of displaced here from her usual role as side saddle to Bananas.
Yeah, she's kind of a big fish small pond situation. She doesn't really know what to do with herself other than thinking that Thailand's on the moon.
Was I naive? I didn't realize that like the majority of people don't get along with Jenna.
I thought everyone, who doesn't like Jenna?
Well, who said that? Corey said that to Kayla, that like most of the people don't jive.
I think it's because I think she's just not in their world. Like all these other people, like they're on their shows together and they're all like relatively new real world Are You the One people. So I'm sure they have like, you know, intermingled at some MTV events or stuff like that. And Jenna's kind of graduated to the upper level.
I will say in her defense, they tried to make her look like an idiot again with the Thailand map thing, but she wasn't wrong. Like the way she would be holding her map. They put the map opposite. They put the map towards our view. She was looking at the map in her view, in which case she was not wrong. She was not pointing to the moon. We will get many dumb moments from Jenna. That I thought was a stretch.
That wasn't one of them. And she even got complimented by TJ for her reasoning of her vote. So yeah, that was a good reason.
TJ was kind of killing me, starting off with when he says, "Come on out, gather in."
gather around, youngsters.
He said, "Gather in," though. Like, that is not a thing to say. Like, I think they let him go off script a little bit too much this episode.
Yeah, there really wasn't that many crazy over-the-top voiceovers. There's only like one or two that I really caught.
Yeah, I only saw one, but just in general, I felt like he was saying some kind of ridiculous things. I'm trying to think, do we want to just address all the champs at the end together?
Yeah, well, I mean, they really focus in more on like this near the end anyway, so we can touch on them at the end.
I did love.
What did you think of Tony's speech?
Let me see.
How happy was he? Randy Nupple says, "How excited do you think Tony is that he got the annual season premiere toast in Bananas' absence?"
It was really pissing me off, honestly, and I told myself I wasn't going to let Tony and Bananas have the satisfaction of pissing me off this episode because that's like their brand. But it really bothered me because I actually thought it was a fine speech, and I think it's like a perfect time if you know the challenge at all to like take slot into that role. And I wouldn't be surprised if producers were in his ear like, "You're Bananas now. He's not here. Yeah, like your ego should be huge." Yeah. But I couldn't stand how he has this like walk on the beach about how great it is that the playing field is even and the people aren't here. And then he immediately starts assuming the same roles. Like, you give somebody 1 ounce of power and they become the dictator. Like, he was a scientific experiment to prove that. And it was like so irritating to me, to the point where I can't wait until the champions come in and just like swat him the hell down.
Well, I was very curious to see which of like the new people would take over. And I was stunned that Nelson was like one of the main people that was like, "All right, look at me. I'm the captain now." Yeah, I was stunning.
I can't stand Nelson, and I like want to like him, but it just still carries over from when he was invisible on Are You the One to the last challenge he was on, which was like fine, but I just don't really understand why they keep bringing him back. So the fact that now he's like becoming a focal point is just like peeving me for no reason.
Yeah, I hate Nelson and everything he does, except when he is just talking about how much she just loves the challenge. Like that, I was like, oh, that because Alex Kibble Brothers, he was like, was it just me or did anyone else notice, appreciate Nelson's reverence for the game and his willingness to really play it? And even like when the, I asked that Bedazzle said, did anyone else love Nelson during the first half and hate him in the second half? Because I love the way he was like talking about, oh, like I really just want to be remembered of the game. The money would be nice, but this would be so cool just to be playing this. And then he does like stupid stuff like being pissed at Tony for not cheering people on. I can't get a handle on Nelson.
That is fair. And you're right. That is fair. Like he did have some nice sound bites. I think he's making like some traditionally rookie moves on the rise to power. Like it did kind of seem like he lacked the finesse of like Wes and Bananas now of like, even when he's pressuring Sylvia, like you pressure Sylvia in a way that's going to make it seem like a good move for her. You don't threaten her and say, you know, you're with me or against me. You're going to vote for Tony or you're going to have a target on your back. Cause that works now and it works in someone like Sylvia, but that's not going to work in the long run. And certainly not when he's dealing with some of the more experienced players.
Yeah, absolutely. That flies with someone with the deer in the headlights, first day on the beach look for sure.
Which is like perfect. Cause Sylvia's got some crazy eyes. There's some deer in the headlights realness. Yeah.
Sylvia looks like that on a daily basis.
Speaking of caring about the legacy of the challenge, Anthony has a very strange line. I think that was strange for them to air, a little bit like self-referential for me, when he says that he wants to be the next challenge cast member to make the jump to the WWE.
Mm-hmm.
I thought that was just like a bizarre aspiration. Is that really the only way to get, like, how many people are in the WWE and how many people were formerly on the challenge? Like, the ratio does not compute as this needing to be a stepping stone. But also... Go ahead.
What's so funny is just like a week ago, Kara got absolutely like obliterated on Twitter by like a WWE wrestler.
What?
She like tweeted out like, yeah, she tweeted out something to the effect of like they had a picture of a couple of WWE wrestlers and she was like, oh, I would love to do WWE, but I don't want to have to dress like a stripper or something like that.
Ooh.
And then the wrestler came over the top, like nice little pun there by myself. And she was like, yeah, because that's like all we do other than being like the unbelievable athletes and stuff like that. I'll try to find the tweets, like pull it up. But she got like obliterated. It was amazing.
That's incredible. Helping pave any ways for Anthony in the future of his WWE career. In fairness to the WWE, men also have to dress very ridiculously provocatively. So,
oh, for sure. I mean, the women wrestlers of WWE are some of the best athletes like in the world. So I don't know where she was going, trying to go with that.
Don't come for us is the point.
Exactly.
I'm trying to think what else. Oh, no, you know what? Who else had a sob story? Nicole, of what do you think of this relationship story?
Yeah, it was very bizarre because at least the editing of it was, because at one moment she was like, oh, I'm so happy to be here. This is so fun. And then they just cut to her crying in like Bruno's arms or Tony's arms. I don't remember who it was, about that her girlfriend broke up with her. It was like an ultimatum of a stay with me or go on the challenge. And, you know, good job you, because I'd much rather you be on the challenge than with someone else and not be on the challenge. So thank you for choosing the challenge.
That all my notes on this are Nicole. Thank you for being the challenge. Now, if it's the girlfriend that I know about, because I followed Nicole, like most of these people, I stop following after their season. And if they come back, I'll refollow them, whatever, for the podcast. But Nicole is somebody I follow full time. And she posted all of these pictures with this girl. And, you know, just as much as you could check in with someone on Twitter, it looked like it was going well. It seems like such a bizarre ultimatum to say, like, our entire relationship and we were going to get married is going to be over if you pursue a chance to win a couple hundred thousand dollars for like a month.
Mm-hmm. Okay. That's Nicole. Sad. Good for her.
I felt bad. Although it seems as though from the bios and from social media that she's going to come out. She's going to rebound quite quickly.
Yes, she is. I found Kara's tweet, by the way.
Beautiful.
She said, is it a requirement for WWE women to dress and act like strippers? I can't tell any of them apart. Try something new, ladies. Eye roll. And then the wrestler Paige came over the top and said, yet we do everything in our power off the stripper pole to empower women, men, encourage female athletes, work with charities. But we were just strippers. What do I know? That.
Boom, roasted.
Yeah. See you, Kara.
She sucks. No, I'm just kidding. I'm excited to see Kara again, but that was a lame tweet on her part.
Yeah. Challenge?
Yeah, I'm just looking at my notes about Tony in all caps. Tony's talking a real tough game, but when Bananas comes back, your head's going to be so far up his butt.
Oh, absolutely.
Just, you know, doing some shit talking via my own notes by myself for no one to see. Yeah, okay, sorry. We can talk about the challenge.
So this was called the over-under. I was hoping it would be the upside down, but they didn't go that way. So it was two parts. The first part, they had to basically climb over a wall using piles of dirt, and then they had to go under like a bridge and spin around a little token and put it onto a railing. That was it.
I will say, like, I was about to go full Hannah from Survivor. I was about to have a panic attack watching this challenge. I was exhausted by the end of it.
Oh, it seemed like an absolute grueling opening challenge. Usually they do a heights thing first, so I was kind of glad they did something different this time, but it seemed absolutely grueling.
Also, for like someone of like Hunter size to go under, you know, to basically dig yourself under the wall, bamboo wall, and fit through is like a lot different than somebody of Ashley's size, or even someone of like, well, Theo's, I'm trying to think of someone who's like a little bit on the thinner side. Like, mostly because
Shane, maybe
Hunter just has these like ginormous biceps that like don't seem right. Man-made to me. And that's what I'm gonna say. And I was getting like extreme claustrophobia from just watching the women try to squeeze through. Like, I can't imagine how the bigger men squeeze through, or God forbid they had a bigger woman on the show. I mean, that would never happen, but how she would have squeezed through the hypothetical non-castable woman.
Right, of course. I mean, it was absolutely grueling. What did you think of the two teams kind of splitting apart at the opening juncture?
I was hoping you could explain this to me, because I didn't understand why it was such a big deal, or why it was like so crazy that just splinter factions would happen in this situation.
Yeah, I don't know either. I think everyone was just kind of just looking for something to get mad at. I also just don't understand why everyone just didn't try to just work together and then like screw people over once you get over. Like, kind of what Ashley started to do is like, all right, now I'm over, I'm gonna go out for myself. So I was kind of confused why everyone just didn't be like, all right, we all have to get over this together, let's just do it, and then we can go out on our own.
Which is sort of like, I think what did happen, but I think it was a misunderstanding. Like, I just kind of think everyone's so frantic and you just start two piles because the pairings don't even make sense. Like, it was Bruno, Tony, Jenna, Corey, and Kayla, and then the rest of people. When, like, Corey and Ashley have a relationship, as far as we know, Sylvia and Nicole, which was, like, the real issue here, have a relationship with Tony and Bruno. Mm-hmm. So it just, like, didn't make any sense that this would be, like, an intentional faction with any malice. And also, like, go ahead.
And then by the end of it, wasn't, like, Corey just using the other people's hill just to get over it anyway? And they were helping him. So I was still confused why everyone was so pissed about that,
which was a total decision, I think, on Theo, and I forget who the other guy there was, part. Like, they, you know, they could have said no, like, screw you, but I didn't think it was such a big deal. I think it matters who gets involved. Like, Nicole and Tony are hotheads, whereas like Corey here just remains silent and doesn't catch any of the flack. Like, this is the way to play it. If you're Kayla, you screw up here by giving too much, like, freaking out. Corey was just as guilty here, and he gets off scot-free.
Corey had a great opening week. He played everything very well, especially the thing with him, with the nomination with Kayla. Even later on, he did that very well. He had a great premiere. He's in good shape.
I will say, and this is not a hot take either, this is like a dwindling ember take. Corey is the future of the challenge. I know we've said this sort of before, and we've had this whole debate when we thought Jordan was the future of the challenge. Corey, I think, has the longevity and the staying power that Jordan didn't, because Jordan's his own worst enemy. Jordan wants to model. Jordan has a hot temper. And Jordan had some unfortunate incidents with Naya. But Corey, I think, really is the future of the challenge. As much as we've tried to like find the next bananas, I think we can safely say nobody has better instincts, you know, their first few times out, I think, than Corey does. Mm-hmm. And he's got the athletic ability. The only concern is his like ACL, right? That's the issue.
Yeah.
Other than that, I think Corey's going to be here as long as the challenge is around.
I think we always look for the, like you said, the next bananas or CT, but I think what he is, he's like the next like Kenny Santucci, in that he's just so charming and likable and athletic that he does stuff that normally should really piss people off and get him like really hated. And there's, it's Corey. He's fun. He's cool. We just want to be around him. He's just a very likable guy.
Yes, totally agree. And I think he's got the like politicking sense. Like, the conversations he was having with Kayla were spot on.
Yeah, he understands the game. He understands the people. He knows how to interact. He's good.
Were you getting, just circling back to the challenge for a second, were you surprised with the outcome of this, the first place and last place contestants?
I wasn't really that surprised with Nicole winning. I wasn't even that surprised with Dario winning. I just think this is what, his third time doing this now. I think experience matters on these first challenges because he can keep his cool. He doesn't, we haven't really seen that in prior seasons, but I think for these rookies that are coming on there, they try to do too much, and he just, with the cameras around and everything, I think he knows how to handle himself. So I wasn't that surprised that he would win the first one, but Marie losing was stunning, and even her going home, spoiler alert, this week was stunning. Like, I was so happy she was back, and she really flamed out.
Okay, so remind me then, because I feel like I don't remember her making such a great showing on her first challenge.
She was really good on her Real World season, and she was pretty good in the Battle of Seasons. She was just like a fresh, spunky voice that we just haven't seen before, and then she just wasn't on. So maybe it was like the allure of Marie is that we only had her for such a short time. They're like, oh, wait, let's get Marie back, and then kind of like don't meet your heroes type thing. Met her again, and yeah, she wasn't as good.
That's amazing. Personality wise, I totally agree. Like, I was bummed to see Marie go, and I remember her being amazing. I just think it wasn't such a surprise to me to see that she wasn't so athletically inclined.
Especially when she already regretted that she didn't work out enough.
Exactly. There's a lot of foreshadowing this episode, but with the editing between that and all the skeletons, you know, emphasis on the skeletons' relationships. I was more surprised to see Dario come in first out of this field of men. Maybe if only because this challenge wasn't a purely who's the best challenge. So, like, mm-hmm. to me, if there was, like, a pure, like, everyone's on their own, nobody needs to rely on each other or consider helping each other. Or I think there was, it seemed to be, like, a certain amount of luck in terms of how tangled your heavy, what do they call it? Like, a heavy...
I just call everything now a token, because that's what they called it all last season. Everything a token.
Am I making up that? I mean, I was watching this at like 1 in the morning, but did I make up that he was calling it like a heavy token or a heavy something?
Sure, okay. We can go with that.
Whatever. Anyway, it seemed like there was a certain amount of luck. So I think if you were to like have any sort of challenge where you didn't have to rely on each other or size was a component, Dario would not be even in my top like five of expected first place finishers. So I was, you know, not pleasantly or unpleasantly surprised to see Dario. No surprise to see Nicole. And I think Bruno's head just like really wasn't in it this whole time.
I mean, it's tough when you're homeless coming into the season to get your head in the right shape. So
unclear to me, because it seemed like he said he was homeless. Like, was he homeless when he left, or he was homeless for a period and then was no longer homeless before he went on the challenge?
I think he just like drove up in his house, aka his Jeep, and then flew out.
Look,
that's what it seemed like.
Tough times can befall anyone. I'm even uncomfortable continuing to have this conversation.
Bruno's not listening, don't worry.
It has nothing to do with that. It's like my own personal karma. I would like prefer not to be homeless. True. And as we speak, I'm racking up debt. So I just would prefer to not make jokes about future or prior homelessness.
Just keep the weed away from your cousin staying with you and you'll be good.
I also don't have a car, so I don't even have that kind of backup.
Oh boy. All right. Back on track.
Do you think there was anything to Nelson's anger of or accusations against Tony that Tony left his boy behind?
I don't know why he was pissed. Who gets mad at someone for not cheering on someone else enough? I think Tony hit it right on the head. He was just pissed. Nelson was just pissed at himself that he did so poorly.
I think Nelson is just conscious of being on camera. I also will say that, like, Tony overall, I think, has improved immensely this season. Yes, okay, should he have gone back for his boy? Maybe. But I was applauding Ashley for doing it, so why not applaud Tony? And like, this winning this challenge or doing well in this challenge was about knowing the balance between when to help someone and when to use someone to help you and then go ahead. So I think right. That was just as much a part of the challenge as getting under the wall. So good on anyone who did that. Good on Tony. I don't think Bruno's sob story of I helped people and they didn't help me, like, whatever, that's on you. I will say people criticize MTV for 16 and pregnant showing like that unplanned pregnancy is a viable option to do well in your life. Tony needs to take that same criticism, because this is like a whole different Tony, and he's like chalking it up to having kids, besides the fact that he's using his kids too much. We're seeing Tony not drinking. We're seeing Tony not get out, yeah, bent out of Tony. Shape when Nelson comes for him to the way that he would have. Like, he even says, like, in a former challenge, he would have started, like, it would have come to blows. Tony is, like, an advocate for unplanned pregnancy right now. This will improve your life. Have children.
Yeah, so it was Derek Boucher had the same thought. He said, but on the real, question, could Tony have actually changed? Can he actually stay sober, especially when dealing with Camilla and other people? So is this the new Tony?
I preferred on the real. But
on the real.
I'm curious to hear from you, because you're a big Tony sympathizer, which you maybe,
I think it's
paying off for you in spades this season.
I'm rooting for him to change. I think, you know, he's got a kid, another on the way. I hope he's a great dad and all that other stuff. But staying sober in the challenge house is, I can't imagine it's easy. I mean, good for him. He made it through the first night, but that hasn't been the first, you know, party night in the Oasis. So we'll see what he does there. But I'm not banking on it staying healthy. I think he's going to have a slip up or two. I hope not, but I think it'd be very difficult.
It is shades of Derek, who, like, this to me, I forget which season it was, and someone's going to correct me, whatever. But what comes out in just, like, my pure from memory from when I watched it 100 years ago is when Derek wasn't really drinking because he wanted to do well in the challenges. And that's when I was ready for him to go home. Not that, like, he needed or him right. to not come back. Not that I think people need to be drinking, but once we get to the age of the challenge where the contestants are no longer participating in hijinks in order to do better at the challenges, we need them retired. And I don't think what's great about Tony is that, like, he really didn't need the alcohol. Like, Tony's personality enough was, like, anger inducing and anger producing enough to get him into shit.
Right.
And the alcohol really only created problems. Like, it was a problem. So I
sent him home last time.
Sober Tony is a great Tony, I think, for the challenge.
I think it's a good, and he's just a very just charismatic guy that, like you say, he doesn't need the alcohol to be a good TV character. He just is one.
Right. No, totally agree. I'm just trying to look at what else. Well, what do you think of Kayla's show? We haven't really talked about Kayla, and she was a huge part of this episode.
Yeah, I mean, she was very, I wasn't surprised that her, like, personality would come through and she would be, like, bouncing all over the walls, because that's kind of what she was in the real world. But, I mean, I was surprised by her athleticism. I mean, she was, like, talking a big game. She was calling her shot. I mean, she delivered on it. How did she finish in the challenge? I don't remember what place she finished in.
You know what? I don't have that either.
You know?
The placement of this was kind of confusing.
I guess it wasn't that bad, though.
Yeah, the placement in general, I think, was confusing on what even placing in this challenge signified. You know, like,
right.
I don't even know if she came in 10th, if I would feel like she didn't do well enough. But I was surprised to hear that she played football for, like, 10 years.
Yeah, that's a weird move.
Her personality is starting to grate on me, I will say. I liked her on The Real World, like, more, a little bit more. I think she's getting, I will say, kind of a bad edit, because who else is going to get it? So I do think she's going to be, like, this season's, like, quote-unquote villain for at least the women in the house.
Now, do you see on Twitter the rumors flying about what she was doing pregame?
I did, and I have that pulled up. Thanks to, so yeah, anyone who sees, like, drama happening and wants to bring it to our attention, that is mucho appreciated. So this comes to us from Annalie at Annalyn on Twitter. I think she's the one who tweeted both of us, so apologies if I haven't credited the right people. But basically, a lot of shit went down on the MTV's Facebook and on Twitter. Emily Fitzpatrick, who I've gotten shit for. Is this the right Emily, or this is not a contestant?
No, that's Emily Fitzpatrick.
Okay, Oh, no, I'm thinking of Cook. Explain to me who Emily Fitzpatrick is again. I, like, can't think.
She was on Cancun. She always gets knocked out on the first episode.
Yes. Okay. Sorry. Just looked at her picture. Sorry, everyone. A lot of Emily's going on. So basically, she's accusing her, or a lot of people are accusing her of sending nudes to every guy in the show beforehand to secure votes, and then acting like a, quote, this is now quoting Emily Fitzpatrick, acting like a royal troll, and that's going to cause reactions. Using dick to get by and be successful is the exact opposite. Also, I'm currently looking for a job, so I'm quoting, that's not me talking, of the women's movement and feminism. I simply told her she wasn't on a private beach with cameras and she reacted by talking shit. I then gave her the business. I'm not the one. And so basically she's being accused of having sent naked pictures to every guy beforehand, which for anyone who doesn't know, Kayla's job is as like a naked / semi-naked pornographic model. She's a suicide girl. Is that a correct explanation of what she does?
I had no idea. That's actually what that's her job.
Oh yeah, she's
well, that's unbelievable. What a job.
She's like a, I don't know enough about the porn industry, but she is a suicide girl, and I know there's like a pornographic component. I don't know if it's like nude modeling or porn, but yeah, everyone can look that up at their own discretion.
Wow. So she's taking her work home with her.
Kayla wrote, "B, shut the actual F up. You thirsty A troll. I swear you'll do anything for another chance on the show. All caps. You didn't make the cast. Why are you opening your mouth? You didn't know the God D first thing about me. And you feel the need to spend some time on Facebook page telling completely fabricated stories about me sending nudes to get votes. Are you effing serious? Get a life. I graduated from a university when I was 21. Should I stop this? I think this is kind of hilarious.
No, please keep going.
I was published numerous times in the New York Post, which is like a rag, but I had my own radio show for years.
That's like an insult to say you're published in the Post.
I had my own radio show for years. We could say that, Brian. We've been doing this for years.
Yeah. Yeah, we have.
You think I need to use D to be successful? I'm an educated woman, and you're demeaning me down to a girl who's nothing but a girl who uses guys to advance in life? Lol, that's a joke, right? Women like you who spread hate about other women and shame them are the exact opposite of a woman's movement. That I don't disagree with. And then she took to Twitter again, given to us by Annalyn on Twitter. Yo, let's get this straight. And this could be like a minor spoiler for sexcapades that happened this season. Yo, let's get this straight because I hate when fake rumors are out there. The only dude who got any type of pic sent to them was at H. Barfield, who's Hunter. Whoa.
Interesting.
And then him and I had a minute when we talked. I mean, maybe she meant before the show. Never have I sent a pic to any other guy in the cast. I was trying to get, quote, votes beforehand. That's crazy. And if you don't believe me, I challenge any guy to please, please publicly post those pics of me. And to those of you who started that rumor to discredit or embarrass me, F you.
I love your voice when you start reading things on the internet. You come so close to like developing into like a southern twang, and it's great.
I just like really want to put a huge divide between me and the words of these quotes.
Because you're reading with like italicized.
I want it to be very clear if anyone were to just like shuffle through and listen at any given point that I am completely right. Making a mockery.
That's Allie's reading voice. That's not her.
What do you make of this? Is there something to be made of this?
I mean, look, if she wants to do all that stuff, then good for her. Like, you know, I mean, it didn't really work considering the entire place hated her. So
you believe it? You believe these nasty rumors? You believe these disgusting rumors?
I believe all rumors usually. They're usually all true.
I'm starting a rumor about Brian. Let's see if he believes it.
Let's do it.
I just don't think it matters. Like her, like anyone could get naked pictures of her online. Good for her. Power to the people.
Yeah. Good for her.
I don't think that's going to get her votes. So, I feel bad for her. Like, I don't think she should be criticized for this, you know, whatever. I just don't even care about it. How about that?
Go down the smashy route and do a politicking instead.
That was incredible. I can't wait to talk. Like, I was like, that is going to be my favorite thing to talk about. It's brilliant.
We can talk about that now. It's fine.
It's so true. And it's happened before on the challenge. But like to quote it like that is so artful.
Yeah. I mean, we had like the whole special for CT right before. And I mean, he's like the king of it. Like just sleeping around and getting all the girls to fawn over him and getting votes.
I didn't watch that. So any highlights for the people like me who didn't watch?
It was just wild to see CT over the years and see like how long he's been doing the show for. Like there was a clip of him in 2004. That's 13 years ago. That's insane. But
can we talk?
It was great.
What do you
bananas is next week, so I'm got my popcorn ready.
Say that again.
Bananas, his Hall of Fame package is next week. So I got my popcorn ready for that.
Oh,
one.
So this is something they're doing regularly week to week.
At least the first 2 weeks. I don't know if they're going to do, I don't know if like these eight people are all just going to be in the Hall of Fame, but it just may, or it's just a coincidence that CT and Bananas are the ones, two of the people returning, but we'll see.
I'll hope to catch up on that before next week.
It's a very fun 20 minutes.
Now, see, I was kind of surprised that we didn't get any kind of DM stuff or any explanation, because last time we saw CT, he told us he was never coming back. Happy to see him back.
I think they'll probably dive more into that when he's actually back. I think that'll be more of a storyline.
I was wondering if if the package beforehand was a substitute for it. Did they? I mean, I'm sure that was a big part of it.
I mean, they had a whole segment with him and Diem, but they didn't touch on like why am I coming back or anything like that. It was just reminiscing about his glory days.
The big story of the night with CT, and just jumping ahead, is little Christopher.
Yeah, I think I would take him in an elimination over to Bruno right now.
He was so cute. I just like seeing CT with a stroller from remembering CT like in Paris is just what a life we've lived with these people.
Do we know who the mother of this kid is?
I don't. I actually saw an article that said he had a child maybe a week ago, like before this aired. So I wasn't like totally shocked, but it didn't mention anything about who the mother was, how old the kid is, anything about that. And it doesn't surprise me that CT is being relatively private about it.
Yeah. I mean, he seems to have his life like in good shape right now, so good for him.
I'm really happy for him. I could see him wanting to shield it from the internet, A, because it's a child, and B, because people are insane and might say things to him that are negative regarding DM.
He's what, like 35, 36 now? I mean, he came on TV when he was like 21, so I think it's about time he has a little privacy back in his life.
I thought you say it's about time he has a kid. I was like, okay, Brian.
No.
All right.
But I'll say this, the battle of the real world kids is really starting, like, has to start the form. There's a lot of them out there where, like, in like, you know, 20 years, there's going to be a good crop.
Yeah. So since we last spoke, was Cheyenne pregnant when we last spoke? I think so. And Jasmine had a baby. There's a lot of kids out there. So in 20 years, and we're still podcasting.
Tony's got two. It's a lot out there.
To speak to Tony, and this is just a total shit show of talking, so I hope everyone bears with us. We can only echo the episode. Tony and his baby mama, Amanda, Alyssa, one of those, A names?
I think Alyssa.
They seem still together. I did like a pretty deep dive on his Instagram last night while I was watching.
Okay, well, I guess good for them, but it might be more fun if he was single again. But I won't root for that. I'm not that bad of a person.
You're rooting for it. You just don't want to say it on the recording.
That's fair.
I'm trying to think what else happened. Am I trying to think of like
I mean, we've touched on a lot of the stuff before the nominations.
If Nelson's threatening you and you're Sylvia and you hit up the nominations, I guess we're at the nominations. Yeah. We already covered politicking, which I cannot wait to continue to talk about. What do you do
that
here?
That should have been the name of the episode. I really wish that MTV made that.
What was the name of the episode?
I have no idea.
What? Do we know that it wasn't?
Now we'll go to check.
It wasn't actually, because I watched it online. So one of them was, I would have remembered that.
Welcome to the shelter.
The second hour was technically a second episode.
Oh, it was a different name?
At least on, I don't know if it was a different name, but it was like two separate. It said like episode one.
What did you think of it being, what did you think of them doing it this way? Like a full 2 hour
It was called Skeletal show. Fracture, which is terrible. Okay. It should have been politicking. That's much better. I agree with you.
Yeah. So what did you think of them doing a 2 hour premiere?
I'm trying to be more positive in my life, so I thought it was great.
No, it was too long. 90 minutes was perfect. They could have cut it down to 90 minutes, and then they would have had everything they needed to do.
The great Molly Block agrees with you. We were talking today, and my immediate reaction was it was way too long. They like definitely had more action to show. Like, show us more partying or show us more something. And her point was like, at least they explained, you know, they needed the time to explain the format. I don't even think they explained the format with any sort of clarity that required an extra hour or half hour.
Yeah, I mean, we don't know the biggest part of the format, which is what happens when the champs come in. Like, I think it's individual, right? But we're still not like entirely sure.
It's very funny that the ratings, I'm looking at Wikipedia, for the first hour, Gimme Shelter, were 0.69 and it dropped to 0.65 for the second hour. So it seemed like America agreed with us. Like, you get 1 hour and that's it. Yeah. 90 minutes I would have been. And I enjoyed the episode as a whole, but just the idea that I watched it for 2 hours was upsetting.
No reality show needs to be 2 hours, and I'm looking right at you. Nothing needs to be 2 hours. 90 minutes is perfect for like a big episode. Like, I'm good with 90 minutes, but 2 hours, it's excessive.
Watch out, Chris Harrison, you're in the crosshairs.
Yeah, 90 minutes is perfect.
All right, so
cut down one of the dates.
I could cut probably like an hour and 20 minutes for The Bachelor, generously. But all right, so you're Sylvia here. The votes fall. 3 to Theo, 3 to Tony. You're up. What do you do here? What do you do in Sylvia's position? Do you think she handled it well or no?
Well, she definitely handled it horribly. The worst thing you could possibly do is visibly be like uncertain and start to cry about what to do. That's like worst case scenario.
It was a real Aubrey move. It was like a cross out the vote.
Absolutely. She was well. And who was it? Was it Hannah who started pacing back and forth and was there for like 2 hours this past season? So that was like the worst thing she could possibly do. And then I think she doubled down on it by making the bad decision. So I think it was horribly wrong by her.
Yeah, I mean, I was thinking a lot. Like, first I was like, okay, is she really the deciding vote? Because I could see MTV making such a big deal out of this. And it's like, she's not even a deciding vote. I feel like we've seen that before. But she was. It would have gone to a tie.
She was.
Okay, fine.
It would have been a tie.
Do we know how that would have been broken? I feel like we've seen that before and I can't remember.
We haven't really seen it with a group tie. We've seen a lot of like when it's like two people and TJ's like, if you can't decide, you're both just going in. And I mean, you couldn't really do that here. I don't think you can't just send like 8 people in. But I don't know how it would have been decided.
I don't know.
Maybe the guys vote. I don't know.
I don't know if like if Marie gets a vote or not, or either Marie or Bruno get a vote at that point. I'm not sure. But
right.
Or if TJ just pressures you to a break. But my thing is Sylvia blew it by she had so many options. A, talk to Tony beforehand. Like, that could have just evolved, like, saved so many problems. Or at least Nicole, who then may have talked to Tony. Prepare somebody in the challenge. It's not as high risk as Survivor, where, like, they could flip the script on you. Like, just prepare them beforehand. And I think that, like, saves you a million dramas. Also, I feel like she could have just said to Nelson, like, I am with you 100%. I cannot say Tony's name. I want him to go in. I will help you get another girl's vote. I can't be the one. And get Nelson off your case. Like, don't show weakness to him. And, you know, like, that's happened in challenge history. Like, I'm with you, but I can't say that person's name. That gets honored. So have Nelson ride somebody else. Or try to flip Nicole, like something, just everything she could have done, she didn't. And what she did, I think, made her the most enemies possible.
Yeah. And I think I think Tony brought this up, either it was before the vote or after. He's like, that's a group of like 13 people who've never really interacted before. That is such a flimsy alliance that you can't be banking on that for much more than like a week or two. So all this is going to buy her is a week. And this wasn't going to happen, but I was praying as like, when the votes flipped and then the guys started voting, there's like, all right, screw it. Now let's just all vote in Sylvia. I would have loved to have seen that. But I mean, that wasn't going to happen. But I was hoping something like that would.
Yeah, I felt like a very familiar Survivor adage when you flip of like you flip from like the middle or bottom of one alliance to the bottom of another. Like the fact that Sylvia doesn't have a target on her back, quote unquote, doesn't have a target on her back from that side now does not mean that she's or by any means is not or does not mean that she is somehow in the majority of Nelson's alliance. If anything, she's going to be the first one cut if they can't target Jenna, Kayla, or Nicole.
And this is like her first impression she's making to anyone on the challenge. And her first impression is that I'm willing to just turn on my friends. Like, what does that say?
Yeah. And usually, like, I don't feel as strongly about like previous relationships. But in this case, Sylvia has nothing else to go off of and had, to me, no reason to flip, at least without. I mean, it's like different than Corey voting for Kayla. Because that's like his vote made no difference, protect himself, whatever. She had so many workarounds here that she didn't take that it was extremely frustrating.
And it was clear, I mean, Sylvia may just not be that familiar with like a normal season of the challenge, but it was clear that this was like not a regular season. And it's weird to kind of like draw your line in the sand when you don't know all the rules yet. And it's clear from what just happened that really the voting doesn't mean that much right now. because everyone's going to have to win at some point. So everyone's going to have to go in at some point. So her staking a claim here really doesn't even do anything. She's just going to have to go in no matter if she's in the majority or the minority.
Right. No, exactly. I thought it was bad play and not really surprising coming from her. I'm curious to know, what do you think of hearing that winning an elimination also, quote, punches your ticket to the Oasis, and that they found that out after they voted everyone in?
I like the rule. I think it's fun for this like early part of the game where they're mixing things up. I mean, it's probably not fair to the people on the show, but like with every twist that we've seen on the challenge, it's not really about fair. Like, that's just the way the challenge does. They can make up the rules whenever they want halfway through the season.
Agreed.
So,
yeah.
Who I'm cares? Fine with it.
I think it's interesting. I think if your math is correct, which I cannot put a flaw in it, I think it sounds great. I'm excited that this only lasts 3 weeks. I'm ready to get the rest of it. It's almost like when Skeletons or bad blood happens on the Real World and you see the drum roll of it for a couple of weeks, like 48 hours until the skeletons arrive. Like, I'm ready for the way the show is to be the way the show is. So if this is only going to be 3 weeks, great. Let's just get it over with. Punch everyone's ticket to the Oasis. I don't care. Draw them out of a hat. Like, let's just get this over with. So I'm excited about that.
Yeah. And just quickly off the nominations, Randy Nupple also asks, with the elimination winner getting an Oasis ticket, is there actually a benefit to losing the main challenge?
Interesting. It's like a little Leroy in the reminiscent of Leroy from Free Agents. I don't know. I was thinking, is there a benefit to getting voted in? Is there a benefit to losing? I would say there's more of a benefit to nominating yourself when there's someone you think you can beat, if you don't think you can beat the field.
I agree. That's where my head was at. You don't want to lose because then you can't really pick your opponent. But if you see someone weak is in, you're like, oh, let me go in this week. Because it was like the way the island worked way back in the day.
It's also setting you up.
You have to get a key somewhere.
It's also setting you up if you are a weaker, because you'd only really do that if you're like on the weaker side, if you want to like lose so that you can punch your ticket from losing elimination rather than thinking you can beat everyone. Then you open yourself, you leave yourself vulnerable to someone who's like actually really good, like a Corey being like, oh, you know what? I got this one. Like you open yourself up on the other side.
And if you purposely lose, then it kind of takes away your chance to just win the challenge the previous week and just, you know, stay out of elimination anyway.
Right. So then we have Nicole going ham on Sylvia. Do you think Tony's serious when Tony says his relationship with Sylvia is over?
I mean, I think he's serious in the moment, but, you know, time heals all wounds, and give it a week and I'm sure he'll be fine.
I looked at maybe one question this week and it was something like, I don't remember the skeletons being this close on the actual season. And I kind of felt the same way. Like, did we feel, I feel like their season was one of the like hottest in terms of fights within the house. And I don't like really remember Sylvia having this like undying allegiance to Tony and Nicole. Is that just like me misremembering things?
No, I think that's about right. I think it's just more like, you know, at least you know us rather than you're just going with people who have no idea who you are and clearly don't have your back. Whereas like, at least we have a history together. So we have a reason to stick together.
Right.
But they're definitely not like, you know, BFFs. I didn't recall that being the case.
My favorite thing was at the elimination when Tony's like, Bruno's like a brother to me. And Bruno's like, Tony and I are like on good terms now. Like, just like the most generic nice thing you could say as opposed to like a brother to me. Although the way Tony has treated his brother on the show, maybe that wasn't that far off.
Or hell, the way Bruno treats his brother. Remember, he didn't talk to him for like 3 years because they got in a fight over food.
Well, they made it up on the Real World. You know, MTV heals all relationships.
Of course. Perfect therapy session. So we got the champ cam before the elimination. Which one do you want to touch on first?
The person who's really jumping out to me is Ashley here. I don't know what I realize with these champs. A lot of it is just my own bias. It's not their stats. It's not how many times we've seen them. It's like purely shit on me all you want. Purely my just first reaction to seeing them is, what is Ashley doing as a quote unquote champ on this season?
It's very bizarre. She's clearly though, which one of these is not like the other one? I mean, the other seven are like big time challenge personalities, competitors, all of that. And then Ashley's like, you know, where's Emily or where's, now I'm playing, well, Emily would be Evelyn or someone like that, like a big time star. Like Ashley, I mean, she's on one season.
The only thing is like, I guess her winning percentage is like head and shoulders above almost all the other women. All the other women, I would say. But so like one for one, but she won like the most bizarre season to win Battle of the Seasons and equate that to winning any other season is insane to me. But also,
are they hoping that, I mean, her and Zach used to date, right?
And Bruno, she used to date Bruno.
Yeah. Right. So they're hoping that like they need some champs that wouldn't stick together. So they need some hatred between them. So they're hoping, you know, bring Ashley on, like her and Zach don't like each other. So that'll maybe lead one of them to go with like the underdogs or something like that.
My thought was that, like, they can't really bring in, like, eight beasts, or it would be exactly the complaint from the other seasons. Like, assuming they're going to go head-to-head with these people, like, I don't know how it's going to work. Mm-hmm. But Ashley is someone that some other women on the other side could feasibly beat. I don't think anyone's got Laura. Nicole is just, like, an anomaly. But she doesn't have the experience, yeah, which, like you said, is very important. And so you have, I mean, a lot of these, like Kara and Camilla are both, what, 1 out of 9? I know Camilla's 1 out of 9.
Yeah, Kara's something like that. So.
And so it's kind of like, it is kind of a weak field for the women. But for some reason, even though Kara's only won one, Kara and Laurel stick in my mind as they belong in this field. Camilla and Ashley, I just, for some reason, not, when you're saying it like you did about them being challenged personalities, that rings true for me. Okay, that holds up for Camilla. I'm also mm-hmm. questioning her place here.
Yeah, I mean, it's totally fair. I mean, I think the big woman missing is Emily, and I don't know if she would want Emily Strom. I don't know if she would want, maybe she's just done with it. I mean, we've never had a season with her and Laurel on, and I think that's like the big showdown that everyone, at least me, would watch. And I would even make that as like the pay-per-view episode if they wanted to do it that way. I would pay the $2 to
not
get it.
Not the Theo Cam fight on Real World?
No, not the Theo. No, definitely not. That you need to give me the $2.
And then what do you think about the guys' field here?
I think it's very strong. I think it's a great four to pick from. I don't think, I wouldn't really replace any of them. I think they each bring a different thing to it. So I like these four.
So it's Darrell, Zach, Bananas, and CT. Bananas and CT don't even need to be a part of the discussion in terms of how they belong here. Darrell, mm-hmm. Darrell also, I mean, totally fine.
4 out of 6.
Zach, it's interesting. I think Zach has to be here in terms of representing the sort of new class of champions, and also all of the sexual drama he has, all the sexual history drama he has with people on the show. That said, never forget Zach almost drowning, Zach almost quitting, Zach, like, big tree fall hard with Zach here. And yeah.
I mean, that's good, though. I think seeing someone like him lose and lose spectacularly adds something to it.
I agree. I look forward to this season only works if the challengers actually have an opportunity to come up here, because that's the whole premise of the show, is the challengers getting their time and then they're going to go up against the champs. And I feel like the hope is that there's at least like a glitch in the matrix, an opportunity for at least one of these challengers to beat one of these champions. Like, that's what we want to see in this season. I also think Zach is a tremendous asshole. Like, his, like, let's make the challenge great again. And also, like, haven't seen Jenna in a while. Looking forward to seeing how she is since I cheated on her and broke up with her on national television. Like, he is such an asshole.
Yeah, you need the bad guy. And Zach is definitely the bad guy.
Any other speculation or anything else about these cast of characters?
No, I worry that it's almost too much of a cakewalk for them. I mean, normally, at least these eight would be coming in a cast of, like, you know, 28 or something like that. And now they're really only coming in 8 of 20.
Are there really 28 people on a season?
Isn't it? I mean, usually when they do like an X's, there's usually like 13 teams or 14 teams. So that's like, yeah, it's 28 people.
Okay. Sorry. I'm like thinking individually. I'm like, have I been watching?
But even like free,
years?
I mean, free agents, there was, because they usually have like 13 of each sex. That way, like, if one of them each go home, that's 26. So it's usually about 13. Or 26 people. So now it's just a little bit less, that it adds even more chances that they're going to make it to the end. So,
although
I do hope the underdogs have a chance. I mean, I think Nicole, like we said, has a chance. Corey. So there's some that have an opportunity.
Do we know that they're going to be like in it, quote, to the end with them? Like, my thinking is, like, are they not like a coaches? I don't think they're going to be coaches, but do they have a separate incentive? Like, is it if they last a certain amount of time, they get X money and the final is still going to be just the challengers? Like, do they just weed out the challengers and then the remaining challengers just go to the end? Like, are we clear that the final is going to be champs and challengers together?
I don't think we're clear on really anything. I mean, if I would guess, I would say, like, once those 12 people go to the Oasis and then 8 people join them, I think it's just them 20 in an individual free-for-all.
Okay.
But, I mean, you could be right. It could be something like maybe there's, like, a champ final and a underdog final. I mean, that I wouldn't rule that out as a possibility. I don't think that's the case, but I wouldn't rule it out.
It'll be interesting regardless. Not as interesting, the elimination this episode.
No, it was, I mean, it was boring. But mainly it was boring because, like, it was just, they just got dominated. So, like, if it was a good battle, like, this was an interesting choice of elimination. I think the bigger story is, like, what did you think of it going back to the old fresh meat style where only the competitors go to it?
I love that. I hope it's not because they're just going to, like, use the same one over and over. But I do love that you don't know who's coming back. I love that you remove the advantage of the person everyone wants to come back getting help. I mean, that wouldn't help in this situation. Mm-hmm. But, you know, we do see, like, when there's a puzzle or something someone can help with, you know, the overwhelming majority of people cheering on one person and helping them and then one person getting nothing. I like that it's secretive. I like the reveal of them coming back. I just like that from a television perspective.
Yeah, I agree. I'm with you on that. No more peanut gallery and the big surprise. I like it. I'm in on it.
And I totally agree with you that I thought this was a fine elimination. I think the only issue was that it was just so obvious who was going to win each one before it even started.
Especially because Tony and Kayla were just such big parts of the premiere that it would have been weird. I know the challenge isn't really, doesn't seem like it's big on like the winner's edit and stuff like that, but it seemed like there was just big characters and big in the storyline that would be weird if they were just cut, you know, one weekend. So
right. I don't know if we have anything on this episode left, but I have a little bit of Twitter drama that was tweeted at us.
Yeah, we can go Twitter.
Okay, so one of the things that I think you'll want to speak to is David at CD Squad tweeted underscore, so in the underscore family, tweeted at us, did you guys heard this about Sarah? Sorry, did you guys hear this about Sarah? Bananas is like playing Jenga with Cara Maria and is basically saying that Sarah is never going to be asked back because she got linked to a big spoiler of the challenge.
You know, I am on rumors. I believe it.
Yeah.
Because he tried to out her as one of the people on that Venmo site, right?
Yeah, it's Venmo. It's Venmo.
I always confuse which is the payment app and which is the challenge spoiler site.
Venmo is so money.
Venmo is the payment. Vevmo. Yeah. Someone needs to rebrand. And I'm going to say Venmo should be the one that rebrands.
Bananas talking shit about Sarah. Like, it didn't even come up that Bananas was like, Sarah bought me this house. Like,
yeah, I love that, though. I love
that. It's just like, I mean, he's a hypocrite, whatever. I just, like, didn't even care about that, and I don't care about this rumor. So, good for everyone.
Yeah. In another rumor department, I heard an interview with Kenny and Evan, and they mentioned about how much Bananas gets for coming on the show, just coming on the show. What do you think that number is?
50 grand?
It's at 60.
Okay. Yeah. So actually, one of my friends who's also in law school at a different school sent me that interview and said, if you want to listen to like 30 minutes of nonstop misogyny, that'll remind you why Kenny and Evan are not allowed back. Like, listen to this.
Right.
So it's like interesting to see what she got from it versus what you got from it.
Very true. Oh, that's funny.
Do you agree? Like, were they complete dicks, or you're just like loving it?
Yeah, I mean, they're Kenny and Evan. They're exactly, you know, they're Kenny and Evan. So,
and then also Daniel West Coast brought our attention to this, which I actually did see. But again, I always appreciate someone bringing it to my attention. That West tweeted to all. West tweeted Survivors, the Special Olympics of the challenge. Hashtag the Survivor finale. And Steven Fishback, this is in February, or this is now, sorry. Steven Fish, I'm trying to think if Wes tweeted this now or Steven just retweeted
No, Wes tweeted that on the day of the Survivor finale. Right. And then Fishback just randomly found it 2 months later.
So he said the challenge is drunk meth heads wishing they were on Survivor. Unfortunately, that didn't materialize into anything. But it did bring me to Wes's Twitter, and he said, to all those wondering why I didn't do the challenge this season, I am/was busy with work. I invest in companies and now own part of over 100 emoji. And so it's like every time Wes is not a challenge, he says it's because of work. And then when he's on a challenge, somehow he got out of work. Whatever, Wes.
I miss Wes. I miss Wes. Needs to come on, Wes. For one time, get back on the juice. Give us an old school season and then go off into the sunset with your 100 companies and monster trucks. Give us one more big Wes season. I know you got it in you.
In fairness, like, who would Wes replace? They needed Zach. Durrell, I think, is interesting enough to bring back.
Oh, not for this season. I just mean like.
No. I'm just saying in general. Like, I'm thinking, like, Wes could be on this season, but I think all four were a better pick than Wes.
Yeah, I agree.
I'm sorry. I just brought up my friend Amanda's tweet, text to me about this. This was the Barstool podcast.
Yeah.
If you need a break from law school / all the terrible shit in the world, here's 50 minutes of pure misogyny to remind us why Kevin and Annie were banned from the challenge. Kenny and Evan were banned from the challenge. And I said, OMG, the horror. And she said, this podcast is terrible compared to yours, which is bigly. So terrible. The worst. Sad.
I'm a Barstool fan, so I won't.
And then she said,
it was a lot of Kenny and Evan.
I actually thought they were a lot of fun on the show and missed them, but they sound so gross. So for anyone who wants to check that out, there's your warning. Thank you, Amanda.
There you go. No quitters pod. I like it, but I can see why it's not for some people.
I don't think she necessarily wanted to take a shot at the entire podcast as much as interview.
Kenny and Evan individually, sure. So anything else on Twitter?
There are probably a million things. I just don't have them.
Sure. So the one last thing I wanted to just, Mike Bloom asked, biggest surprise, both positive and negative. He had positive Nelson, negative Marie. Who do you have?
I don't think Marie was a surprise. Maybe I'm like misremembering her athletic ability from her last challenge, but I didn't think it was like such a surprise.
Anyone else jump out positively?
I would say negative is Hunter's appearance as a surprise.
That's fair.
I didn't expect Kayla to like insta bitch, and I'm not calling her a bitch. I just mean everyone like hates her so immediately. Mm-hmm. It's not that shocking from her appearance on The Real World. Like, people didn't love her on The Real World. She definitely got along better with some than others. I'm surprised how like quickly she's become most hated. And with that, I would say Jenna, like, having no friends. What do you think?
Yeah, that was just more stunning. Yeah, I would say for is that, again, not really a surprise, but just like somehow she surpassed expectations in Nicole. Like, I mean, she was just so built for this. And the fact that she came out swinging so hard in the first episode really is great to see. And yeah, negative. I was excited to see Marie. So I was very disappointed that she's one and done and probably will never be heard from again. Except for when she gets married to Anthony.
I look forward to doing a podcast live from the reception of that wedding, because that's about as likely as them getting married is.
Exactly. So, all right. I think that covers for the premiere, right?
Quick plug. I've been doing sporadic coverage, two episodes so far, of Are You the One with Adam Bongiovanni. And I have to say, just like Brian, I started the podcast with Adam, sight unseen. Well, yes, sight unseen, but that doesn't matter. Like, voice unheard, having never talked to him before. He's hysterical. I'm like low-key obsessed with him. He's insane in a good way, in all the ways you look for in a podcaster. And so we've been having fun. We just had Rob on to talk about Are You the One. Spoiler alert, he loved it. So you should definitely check that out. It's on the same feed as ours, which I'm sure Brian will tell you about. But definitely check that out. And
yeah, I've listened to them too. The Rob conversation was so bizarre to hear Rob talking about Are You the One that I just never really grasped everything he was saying, because I was like, how is Rob watching MTV right now? But that was it, and it was very fun.
I agree, because like as I was like quote unquote hosting the show, I couldn't believe what he was saying either. So I just like kept trying to end it because I just couldn't.
Because every time you were like, so what did you think about this matchup ceremony, Mona? I'm like, how is Rob talking about this right now?
And then also I somehow agreed that you're gonna laugh at this because it makes no sense and shouldn't have been allowed. Jordan Parhar on our reality TV Rehab Ups Network is doing like some sort of love cast for Rob and Nicole. Used to do these for Valentine's Day, and I like somehow agreed by accident to be a part of the women's panel with Haley Strong and Lita Roman. So that will be probably offensive and unimportant, and you should definitely check that out when it drops close to Valentine's Day.
Perfect. Can't wait for that.
That's all the plugs I have. All right.
And for this one, you can subscribe at robhaswebsite.com/challenge iTunes. You can follow me on my new handle, CohenBryan_. They can follow you.
At @lashtweets_. There's no underscore. I'm a wannabe.
We'll be back next week for episode 2. Until then, have a good one.